We are discussing this week about the inyan of chinuch with regards to avelus. Of course, a very sad situation. No one should ever have to experience this. But in halacha, it becomes an interesting topic. And in lamedus, it's an interesting topic. The Gemara in Moed Katan Daf Yudalad Amud Aleph, going on to Amud Beis, tells us that if a child, Rechman Lutzlan, is an avel, so then we tear kriya for him. And the Gemara explains that we're mekarin is lashon of, that we do the kriya for him. Typically, this is a din. We always do the kriya. Whenever a person's an avel, he never does a kriya for himself. The one who's officiating does the initial tear, and sometimes the person will do the kriya himself with a combination of the rabbi. Sometimes the rabbi would do it himself. It's a back and forth who's doing the kriya, but certainly the initial tear is done by the rabbi. So the Gemara says we're mekarin lekatan mipnei agmas nefesh. We tear for the katan because it creates this pain. And the pain, Rashi explains, is sheyivku haroin. The katan's not really an avel. That's simply because when a person, if you've ever experienced and seen this, it's a heart-wrenching thing, that you hear that tear and everyone begins to bawl because a katan's, you know, he's sitting in avelus, whether it's for a parent or a sibling, and everyone begins to cry. And that's the only reason we do this. Even though it's painful for the child to experience that, it's for everyone else around. And what comes out clear from this Gemara is that there is no chinuch for the child. There is no obligation that the katan needs to do kriya. It's simply in order to have some effect on everyone else around him. So we're going to discuss, as you saw, how come the Gemara ignores the obvious question of what about the chinuch? Why is there no mitzvah of kriya for the child? Don't we have to mechanich children in all mitzvahs of the Torah? Now, we're going to get to next week about whether avelus is a din deraisa, din derabanan. But either way, whether it's a deraisa derabanan, we're mechanech children even on dine derabanan. Just a very good example of this would be lulav. Lulav is an inyan of mechanech. That's one of the prime examples of the Gemara. But mid deraisa, when is the only mitzvah for deraisa of lulav? First day, the only mitzvah, outside of the Beis Hamikdash. In the Beis Hamikdash, all 7 days is a mitzvah to shake the lulav. Outside, the pasuk says, only the first day. So the additional days are only mitzvah midirbanan, yet we're all our mechanicha children when they reach the age to have a lulav and esrog. So even by mitzvah midirbanan, there's a concept of chinuch. So whether avelus is deraisa or derabanan, we should be mechanicha children. I mean, we shouldn't, but when one has to experience avelus, there should be chinuch with regards to avelus. So why is there not? So the Mukhi Yosef says, in fact, there is. He says, our Gemara is only referring to a child who's under the age of chinuch. Now, the age of chinuch is always a tricky thing. The Gemara talks about it depends on the particular mitzvah. Tzitzis, for example, requires a very low level of das. Typically for upsharon, that's when a person puts on tzitzis for the child, or when he's potty trained, whatever age, 2, 3, 4, then the kid is potty trained, that's when we typically put tzitzis on, as opposed to, of course, tefillin. We don't put on until the kid's a month before his bar mitzvah. So everything depends on the particular mitzvahs and the particular sharpness and understanding of the child. If you give a child a... You know, tefillin is a special din because tefillin requires a special kavana and it can have any bad thoughts. So we're machmir. No one puts on tefillin. Even when a young, bright kid's 10, no one would put tefillin on such a young boy. But let's say a kid, some 4-year-olds are capable of shaking the lulav and some 8-year-olds are not capable of shaking the lulav. They're going to start poking people. So that would be a type of mitzvah that depends on the particular child. So the Nemuki Yosef says, when the Gemara says you only tear because of agmas nefesh, that's only when the child isn't of the age of chinuch. But if he is higil chinuch, so then we would tear his clothing because he has a mitzvah of chinuch. Now, it's a very strange thing to be mechanich a child in a velus. That's going to be, of course, the root of this discussion. But that's what the Nemuki Yosef says. Now, Shachnach paskins this way as well. He says, a katan whose relative dies, we do kriya. So the Rekiv Eger says, well, it depends on the age. He says, this chilik of the Nemuki Yosef, there's going to be a nafkamina. So right now, the Nemuki Yosef says, if the child is under the age of chinuch, so we do kriya. And if he's over the age of chinuch, we do a kriya also for chinuch. I mean, what's the difference? The tam is, either it's because agmas nefesh, when he's very young, a 3-year-old, it's agmas nefesh, and when he's older, we do it because of a chinuch reason. It's different reasons. But is there nafkamina? Either way, all the children would tear kriya. So what's the nafkamina between a child shelo gil chinuch versus a child she gil chinuch? The mountain you cut. So again, no one should have to experience this until a parent is 100, 120. But those who have experienced avelus, The kriya is, the halacha is, you have to, anyone, what's a halacha when it comes to a parent? How much of the kriya do you have to do? Anyone know? Not for a parent. For a typical kriya for a child or sibling or spouse, it's a tefach on the right side, not the heart. But for a parent, we do on the left side where the heart is. How much more than a tefach? Ad shemegal libo, the Gemara says. Ad shemegal libo, they do in such a way where the heart is, the chest is exposed. So, Kiviger says, if you're tiring for a katan shehegil chinuch, so you need to do a full tefach, unless it's a parent, which is even ad shemegal libo. If it's a child that's under the age of chinuch, all you have to do is just a kol shu, a tiny little tear. I don't know what it's been. I don't remember if I ever saw this happened at Levaya. I don't know how much they actually do Lamaisa. It's very important to know, by the way, Halach Lamaisa Vavelis is very far from Halach Lamaisa, what we see through the postgame. It all depends on Minhagim. We'll see at the very end, the Nitigavriel, Halach Lamaisa, what would happen, it's all Minhagim. Even though learning the Lamdis, it's all dependent on what has been established as the tradition. Fine. So that's the halacha of a child under the age of chinuch versus a child above the age of chinuch. Now, the Chazon Ish of number 5 has another nafkamina. Talked about another, again, very sad situation. Let's say a child was nifter. Okay, if a child was nifter, so then the halacha is that if the child is under the age of 1, the child has not yet reached 12 months, so then you don't take the child out in the in a coffin. You take the child out as is, very raw experience. Fine. But if the child or anyone above the age of a 1 had been nifter, so then you would take out in mita, and there's a whole procession, a lot of rabbim come, there's a whole levaya. So there's a difference as to how old the child was when the child died. So says the Chazon Ish, this is a nafkamina. If a katan higil chinuch, so then that child, and let's say that child loses a sibling at a very young age, so then no matter how old that child is, you do kriya, because it's a mitzvah of avelus, of a child, even if a child was nifter rachman al-tzlan at 8 months old, so there's a mitzvah of avelus, and the katan would have to do a full kriya. But let's say the sibling who's sitting avelus is 3. Shelo gil chinuch, so then it would only be because of agbas nefesh. There's no mitzvah chinuch in a 3-year-old. And since when a child who is nifter, there's no mitzvah, you don't carry him out in a coffin, so no one comes to the procession. There is no in agbas nefesh because there's no one there really accompanying the child. And that there again, even though the katan shegil chinuch would have a mitzvah of kriya, a katan shelo gil chinuch, since no one is there at the levaya, would not have a mitzvah of kriya because there is no agbas nefesh, since there's no one present. So a very, very sad situation when you learn Avelis. Sorry to start the day off in such a way. But we'll learn some interesting halachas as it's relevant to some chinuch in general in a more positive way. So Ramosha is a fascinating tshuva. Ramosha is talking about Erev Shabbos Kodesh. I remember when I was in yeshiva, they told us to go visit the Kotel or Kosa, whatever you want to call it. They said, go visit Erev Shabbos. This way you won't have to tear Kriya. That's the practice of many people in Yerushalayim. Ramosha was not very fond of this approach because he didn't understand what was a lumdus. Why would this practice be in place of no tearing kriya on Erev Shabbos Kodesh? So he quoted a sefer, Ir Kodesh Rav Mikdash from Rav Tatsinsky, and he explained because the idea of a kriya is to create tsar, right? The Gemara says, Mipnei Agmas Nefesh, what we're learning about right now. Why else would you tear the shirt of a young child, a 3-year-old boy? What's the Indian? There's no avelis for him. Agmas nefesh, it's tsar. So he says, so how could a person enter into Shabbos with all this tsar, a torn shirt? So that was the understanding of why one wouldn't tear kriya. But this is an amazing Ramosha. You find this, I mentioned this last time, that even though Mikra din, the Ramosha argues, in principle, that a person, there is no basis for such an idea, that a person should tear kriya even erev Shabbos, he has a very important line, if this had been the practice of the Jews for a number of years, for scores of years, that had been the practice, even though the people created it, it was an incorrect psak, because the people somehow took off from no posek, Hakopanim b'din haminag, which is just fascinating how a minag could evolve based on people doing things with no basis. If it only doesn't go against, no isurim involved in this, that becomes a practice. And he brings a source from a number of Gemaras that Gemara says that two brothers shouldn't go to the bathroom, the bathhouse at the same time. They shouldn't go to the mikveh at the same time. Now, even though there's no basis for that, there's a concept that a person shouldn't go to the bathhouse with his Rebbe, with his father. But with two brothers, what's the big deal? There's no violation of anything inappropriate going on there. That's completely fine. But the Gemara says, since this had been the practice in a city called Kavul, we don't want to be matir something that they took upon themselves as a davar iser. Ah, their davar iser is based on nonsense. Still, if they took upon themselves, that becomes a minhag. We don't want to play around with it. So here's, well, even though this makes no sense, one really should be tearing kriya after chatzos. We don't want to play around with this, and we leave the minhag in place.
Sometimes we see people poskim say things like there's a minhag shtus and it shouldn't be continued. Do you see that type of lashon?
Right. This is definitely true. They say the Rosh Hashanah's minhag is gehenim. Minhagim sometimes come from a bad place. To my understanding, that's only in a situation where there's going to be repercussions that's going to affect people, either create other isurim or other things will be affected by it. If it's something that's harmless, like this, then they won't, I think, they wouldn't throw that out. That's my understanding of the distinction. But either way, in Lumdus, Moshe has something very interesting. Moshe thinks that the idea of kriya, now this is a very important chakir to keep in mind as we learn through the parak, the kriya becomes in Lumdus a very interesting discussion. What is the nature of kriya? Is kriya an Indian of creating tsar and agmas nefesh, like the Gemara seems to imply? Or is it really a kavod for the mace? It's really showing kavod for the mace when a person does kriya, nothing to do with tsar, just a matter of respect. Not everything that shows kavod hames will necessarily be premised on tsar. So Rav Moshe thinks that kriya is all about kavod hames, shows honor to the mace, not to create tsar for the person. And he says, even when the Gemara uses the terminology agmas nefesh, that's just the cause for people to cry. A person is supposed to cry over the loss of a parent, a sibling, a child, even any yid who passed away. It's kavod when people cry, not because it's tsar. Now, tsar helps us cry because, you know, the only way we as regular people can be in touch with our tears is usually through tsar or through simcha. Now, we're not going to have a badchan at a levaya, obviously. So we're not going to take the route of laughing to cry, but we're going to take the route of be painful to cry. But people who are at very high levels, we discussed with many of you during the Seder this week, that there are those great tzaddikim who could cry without being in pain. It's a very strange thing. I don't know how that happens exactly. When Rav Shechter gives shir, he oftentimes cries when he quotes a certain gadol who had been killed in the Holocaust or he lost to his Rav Yosef Engel. Whenever he quotes Rav Yosef Engel, he quotes him often. He almost always cries because we lost many of his svarim and chidushei Torah in the Holocaust. When he spoke here a couple of years ago, it was Parshas Truma, I think, or if Weinberger wasn't here. So when Weinberger said, Rav Shechter's coming for Shabbos, so I said to Rav Weinberger, where should I have him sit in my seat? And I'll sit in the regular row. He says, no, Rav Shechter's going to sit in my seat. So that's going to be uncomfortable. I'm going to tell Rav Shechter to sit in Rav Weinberger's seat. So I was told that's what has to be done. So when I got to shul, Rav Shechter was already there. And I told Rav Shechter, Rav Weinberger told me that he wants you to sit in his seat. He was very uncomfortable. He said, okay, whatever the Rav says. And he was very uncomfortable sitting there. I don't know if you remember if you were there for the Shabbos, so when he opened up the I introduced him, fine. And then he opened up, he recalled a story that he heard from Rav Soloveitchik that I might make a mistake of the parties involved, but the Malbim, we know the Malbim for his Chidushei Torah, his Perush on the Torah. But he's also a massive posek. So one time he went to Shul, and I think he was sitting in the Chassam Sofer seat. And they said, this is the Chassam Sofer seat, you can't just sit here. And supposedly from that point on, the Malbim lost his ability to paskin shailas for sitting in the Chassam Sofer seat. And at that point, that's when he started writing his Perush HaTorah and became the Malbim. So Shakti said, I hope I don't lose my ability to paskin based on this. And now I'm like regretting if Shakti gets to that point. It's all my fault now. So either way, we see from here, why was I bringing this in again? What was the connection?
The tzar.
So Rav Shechter, when he was saying the story over of the Malbim, he was starting to cry. He wasn't in pain. He recalled something, so it brought tears to his eyes. He oftentimes, so that's the idea of crying is not about tsar. It's really about kavod hames. That's the idea, it's kavod hames. If kriya is about kavod hames, then there's no problem in Erev Shabbos. Kavod hames is no problem. It's only a problem of having tsar. an Erev Shabbos, but to show kavod to someone, that would not be any problem. And therefore, he says that Mikra Din, he thinks there is no problem. But since it's been a minug, so then a person should hold on to that minug.
Rabbi,
yeah.
What's the inyan of kriya? Why is kriya kavod ames? What's the act of kriya, right?
Yeah.
There's a million things you can do.
Very good.
Kavod ames.
Very good.
Give tzedakah or do something like that. Why
yeah.
is...
So we're going to get to that in greater detail later on in the parak, but just from what I recall, is that firstly they're based on psukim. That's number one, a pasuk. But the deeper understanding is that shows, I believe the post can say, a willingness to lose clothing, a willingness to give up something a person's wearing on his back himself, to wear it and tear that to show kavod for parents or siblings. I think that's the idea. But I'm sure in a deeper way, there's much, probably something much, much greater. Maybe it's expressing how a person feels. He feels torn, and it's expression of physical expression of how he's feeling emotionally. But maybe it's a good. Maybe we get to the Indian of Kriya in greater detail. Maybe I'll look into some deeper understandings. Maybe in Nister, an emotion suggests. Maybe do some Likutei Halachos as they connect to the sugyas. I think it's a fascinating idea. Had I been so versed in Likutei Halachos to know which halachos connect, I think it would add a lot of flavor to this. Maybe as this new base medrash comes out, this mechina comes out, maybe we'll get more comfortable with lacing in some of these inyani nister. Okay. In the end of the day, we paskin that kriya and avelus. Sorry, before we paskin. So in the end of the day, what's the halacha with regards to avelus? We said kriya. The most poskim say that there should be kriya for a child, akvas nefesh. Hegila chinuch, we say kriya midin chinuch, a mitzvah of chinuch. But what about avelus? The Gemara says in a few places avelus lechud and kriya lechud. One application of that, I mentioned this the other day, maybe in the Sunday morning shir. There are a few areas of psak. Every area of psak has its own set of rules. So, for example, the Gra, famously based on the Medrash, said bein din ledin, bein dam ledam, bein din ledin, bein negel leneged. Bein dam ledam is the area of Tumah V'Tahara. No, sorry, the area of Isser V'Heter. Bein Din L'Din is Choshen Mishpat, and Bein Nega L'Nega is Tumah V'Tahara. And the Gra says each of those areas have a different set of halachas. So, for example, a suffix that appears in Isser V'Heter, we eat L'Chumra. The suffix in Tumah V'Tahara depends Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaYachad. Each category of halachas have a different set of rules. Or Chaim is different than Yeradeh halachas, and Yeradeh is different than Choshen Mishpat, which is different than Evan Ezra. All four categories. Now, even within those, there are different rules as well. So, for example, the Gemara says when it comes to Erevin, Kol, how you pass an Erevin? Remember, Aaron? Last time you said this. All right. Erevin, always Lakula. Right? Always Lakula. Whenever there's a Machlokas, we're always Lakula. There is no such Erev that exists that it's all based on Chumras. It's impossible to create an Erev based on Chumras. Every Erev relies on certain Kulas. There's no question about that. How many kulas you accept, that's a whole other story, depending on how frum you are, but they all need to have kulas, otherwise it just wouldn't happen. There's so many chumras. So we're always makel when it comes to Erevin. Where else are we makel?
Avelus.
The Gemara says, call a makel v'avel halacha kamosa. If you have a machlokes, and there's a lenient opinion, a stringent opinion, we are lenient. But the Gemara says, but we have a case of kriya, I forget exactly the case of the Gemara, where we're machmir. And the Gemara says, no, avelus l'chud in kriya l'chud. Avelus has a halacha of call a makel v'avel halacha kamoso, but when it comes to kriya, it's not bound by the halachas of avelus. So although by kriya we say there is an inyan of chinuch by kriya, it doesn't necessarily mean there's a mitzvah of chinuch by avelus of a katam. So what's the machloka? So there's a three way that I saw, three shitas, whether or not there's avelus with regards to chinuch by avelus. So one opinion is the Taz says that no, of course there is. Just like we practice kriya for katan shegila chinuch, so too there should be avelus. That means the avel should sit down on the low chair. He shouldn't wear leather shoes. All the he shouldn't take a bath. He shouldn't get a haircut. All those halachas apply across the board. That's the sheet of the Taz. The Nekudas Kesef. Who wrote the Nekudas Kesef? Anyone know? Nekudas Kesef was written by the Shach as well. It's found on the side of the Shulchan Aruch. It was the Shach's response to the Taz. So then Nekudas Kesef, the Shach writes that only by kriya do we find there inyan of chinuch, but there is no chinuch by avelus. So that's the machlokas. Taz says there is chinuch by avelus. Shach says there is no chinuch by avelus. And what's the position of the Sfas Emes al Ashas? He has a middle approach. It says depend. It's not across the board either way. Sfas Emes says when it comes to a something like kriya, so then we do have avelus. when it comes to, he says, there is no avelus in general. But when it comes to being monea mimenu davar shel simcha, then we shouldn't practice it. Meaning, anything that requires an action, aside from kriya, an action, so then we don't allow him, he doesn't have to keep those halachas of avelus. When it comes to holding back simcha, then we would have him practice it. So it depends on the nature of it. So getting a haircut, he doesn't need the haircut. That's going to give him additional simcha, make him feel good and clean about himself. That we wouldn't let him have a haircut. But things for him to, let's say, not to learn, I'm not sure that's a great example, but he makes a chilek between a maisa versus a non-maisa. Holding back simcha, we don't let him go party, but at the same time, we don't make him do all the other dinim of avelus. So those are, that's a three-way machlok, is whether there's chinuch by avelus. How do we paskin? Shulchan Aruch writes in number 10. If you look inside, the number 10, the Shulchan Aruch writes that katan shemeis aviv v'imo, a minor whose parent dies, afilu higdil toch shiva, even though he becomes bar mitzvah during, a very sad case, happens to be there is a, in my daughter's class, she's a sixth grader, so she had a friend of hers, she lost her sister. She had mamish planned her bas mitzvah a couple months ago, and the shiva turned out during the bas mitzvah. Obviously, the bas mitzvah was canceled, but it could happen, lo aleinu, that a person becomes a gadol during shiva. So the halacha is batal mimenu kol din avelus. The halacha is we don't practice any chinuch by avelus. The question becomes why? Why not? Why is there no avelus? Why is there no chinuch by avelus for a katan? Why not? Every other mitzvah, there's an inyan of avelus, or rather, inyan of chinuch. Every other mitzvah, tzitzis and tefillin and learning and lulav and sukkah. How come there is no chinuch by avelus? So we found that there are, I think, four different explanations found in the Achron. Number one is, I'll go through quickly the first few because Ramosh is the most interesting one. The first one was a very interesting line, Dagom Ravava. Ben had a little difficulty with this also. I don't fully understand this idea as well. But he says, because of bittul Talmud Torah, you're not going to learn. And now you could apply that to many areas. So if the child's going to eat in the sukkah, he's not going to be learning. The child's going to play basketball, he's not going to be learning. So, you know, does that mean a kid is expected to learn all his all hours of the day when he's awake? So certainly not. So I think the idea is that if it's going to be practicing Shiva, there's going to be 7 full days of no learning. That's one of the elements of avelus. The person's not allowed to learn Limud HaTorah. So I think it's not because, of course, we don't expect kids are not robots. Kids and adults like are not able to learn all day long. Actually, funny. I play basketball a couple days a week. I go with Dr. Simai. We go play when it's nice out. We start up again. We go to Grand Park. We play one-on-one in the middle of the day. No one's there. We have the courts to ourselves. It's very quiet and empty. I can dress however I want to dress and play. So yesterday I went there, and I saw half of Aish were there in May, took their kids there to play. So all their band there, like, you know, dressed in their suits, playing basketball, and I'm you know, wearing my green shorts and sneakers, which I'm fine with. It was funny. We're not able to learn all day long. Neither are children. Children certainly shouldn't. Children shouldn't be learning all day long. They're not capable of doing this unless you really want to break them down. So I think the idea is that if it's 7 days of keeping Shiva, that means there's 7 days without them learning. And that's the idea why Dagom Ravava felt that there is no chinuch by avelus. The Beis Hillel, one of the important poskim on Shulchan Aruch, he says another idea. Now this is something hard to, this is something you never want to explain to a person sitting avelus, but part of avelus is introspection of tshuva. You know, it's a chance for a person to figure out what they could do better about themselves. It's a humbling experience. And if you try to explain to someone who's not a real believer that there's a chance of tshuva, they're going to tell me, oh, it's my fault that this person died? You're blaming me for my avelus for this person dying? And I have a relative of mine who was in touch with an old friend from many years ago who was sitting shiva, not frum, but affiliated enough. And she wasn't able to go to pay a shiva call, so she called her on the phone, her old friend. And the old friend was saying how she hates God and it's this and that. And this relative, who was very frum, said, you know, you never understand how things work. We're not here to explain any reasons and stuff. And that friend will never talk to this relative of mine ever again, because you're trying to give her chizuk of, you know, there's such a thing as God. And she didn't even say to tshuva. She just said that we don't understand how things work, and that was enough to set her off. And so obviously a person who, whatever situation is sitting avelus, is very sensitive. So to tell a person directly that now's a chance to do tshuva, it could go a very wrong way that you wouldn't want to go. So you have to know who you are and who you're saying this to. I'm sure many of you have been to a base avel where you've seen the worst things being said, the most inappropriate things being said to to the avel, as to wanting to know, gruesome details of how the death happened, or describe to me what happened, what was the last breath like, or really things that people just, it's an uncomfortable situation. So of course be very, very careful what a person ever says, but the real idea between us as to the idea of Avelis is it's a chance of tshuva. So a katan doesn't need to do tshuva. A katan's a katan, he's a clean slate, no matter what he does wrong, he should be doing the right thing, you have to discipline him, you have to make sure he behaves well, but at the end of the day he doesn't need tshuva at that level, and therefore it's really an unnecessary experience for him. That's the idea of the Beis Hillel. Now, Rav Soloveitchik writes in Shiurei HaRav, number 13, that he thinks the reason why a katan is exempt is because there's this idea of there's some, avelus is a emotional to mental fulfillment. Without going through the whole proof here, it's a kim halev. He brings the Gemara Sanhedrin to prove this. It's somehow a kim halev. It's an emotional feeling how a person should react to a mace. You know, from a psychological perspective, they say that the content of Shiva is a very, very healthy thing. It's a good way of relative dealing with the loss. People come to visit. It's a very nice thing. That's not why we do things. We do it because the Torah says so. Happens to be, the Torah knows psychology also. It works out psychologically as well. But there's some mental keen that's going on here in the lev, in the das. And however that works exactly, of course, a katan doesn't have das. They don't have enough das to understand the sophistication of what's going on, the loss that they're experiencing, so they can't really fulfill a kim hadas, and for that reason, they're exempt from any chinuch with regards to avelus. But the last idea is the Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe is a really beautiful tshuva inside. It's a very long piece. I cut out a lot of them, but he really gets to the core of the nature of chinuch in general. When it comes to chinuch, it's getting late already, but chinuch there is really a big chakira within the mitzvah of chinuch. One approach is it's based on a Rashi in Maseches Sukkah and Daf Bezam and Beis. The Gemara is talking about how Hilni Hamalka, she was a queen, she kept the Torah, she kept all the mitzvahs, she was Jewish, and she was mechanech her children. She didn't have a husband, unclear what the situation was, but she was mechanech her children, and that's one of the riyas they prove that a mother is obligated to also mechanech children. That's a big machlokas in the Gemara Nazir, Daf Chav Zayin, and the Gemara Tosas Yisharim and Yuma, when they're fasting on Yom Kippur when they're younger. But the Rashi writes a language there that the idea of chinuch is to be meragel, to habituate, to regulate a child to do things that they should be doing, just to get them accustomed to doing things. To a 13-year-old boy, he had done nothing his entire life, and suddenly he's told to now start davening and start learning and start doing tefillin, and the kid's going to think you're crazy. You need to get him accustomed to a certain environment, how to experience Yiddishkeit. It's ragil. The other approach is simply that Chachamim took the age of 13, and they just made it earlier to the age of 10 or 9 or 8. They just extended the age, or they made it earlier. And it wasn't to be miragel, to regulate the child. They just made the age earlier. There's a chiyuv chinuch on the child. What's the nafkamina? So the nafkamina is, there are many, but one nafkamina is, how exact do you have to be with regards to the child fulfilling the mitzvah? So for example, they always sell a chinuch set. You go to a dal minim, and they sell a chinuch set. Now a chinuch set doesn't mean it's pasul. It means it's kosher, but it's not mehuder. If they are selling you a chinuch set, I've had this before, where the lulav is split, that's not a chinuch set, that's pasul. That should be thrown in the garbage, not sold. Chinuch set means that the lulav is very, it's a strangly piece of lulav with a few leaves that looks like no man wants to be shaking it. But this, it's completely sealed at the top. The esog, chinuch esog means it's got a couple of scars, but it's got to be kosher. It has to be kosher. So how far do you have to go? You can't sell the guy a lemon, that's pasul. That's not called a chinuch. Chinuch has to be where you're fulfilling the mitzvah. So now, how much of the details have to be kept? So one big machlokas when it comes to lulav and esrog is a borrowed esrog and lulav. On the first day, none of us could be yotzei a lulav and esrog if it's borrowed. You have to own it. Lekachtem lachem has to be yours. But what about a child? Can a child borrow your lulav and esrog? It has to be a esrog, has to be a lulav. So that's a machlokas in the poskim. Because the idea of borrowing an esrog is an external requirement of fulfilling dal aminim. So what's the nature of that machlokas? Whether you can be yotei, a child, can be yotei a borrowed lulav esrog? Moshe says as follows. If the idea is that there's a mitzvah of chinuch on a child, they just made the age earlier, then every halacha that you and I keep as an adult has to equally apply to the child. But the idea is just to be meragel, to regulate him, as long as it's somewhat in the realm of a mitzvah, has to be a lulav, has to be an esrog. But any of the external halachas of a shaul versus not, that's external that a child can fulfill because it's being meragel. In his mind, he's doing the mitzvah properly, and he's getting regulated and used to performing mitzvahs. That's the idea. And there are many, many nafkaminas of this. Another nafkamina is the Bachlokas Rashi Rambam. Who is the mitzvah of chinuch incumbent upon? Who would you think? Whose responsibility is it?
The father.
Pashup Shah is the father. Mother, maybe. Then Rashi and Chagiga says yes. Pashup Shah, the parents, the father. But the other opinion, Rashi says in Gemara Brachos Daf Memches, the child has the obligation of chinuch. The child. So they explain, if the idea is that it's to be mirag of the child, well, that's the parent's responsibility to make sure he's in an environment of yeshiva, he's eating food. But if the idea is that the mitzvah of chinuch, they just made the age earlier, so just like I have to do mitzvah for myself, the child has to do this mitzvah for himself. So that also connects to this idea of the nature of chinuch. What's the relevance of this? So says Rav Moshe, if the whole idea is to be mirag, to get used to doing a mitzvah, well, when it comes to a mitzvah that's so rare, let's say another example. Let's say the bracha Birchas Hachama happened how often? Every 28 years. That's not regular. So if the child misses at the age of 7, there's no idea of being meragim because he's going to be 35 the next time it happens. So you want a kid to go just because it's a nice thing to miss the opportunity would be chaval, but there's no inin of being meragil him to get used to it because it's going to happen 28 years later. So anything that happens b'mikra, very infrequently, there's no mitzvah of chinuch.
What about the idea of the overarching umbrella of being meragel to do mitzvahs as opposed to a particular mitzvah?
Okay, that's certainly very interesting. I hear the idea, but the problem is, since each mitzvah is unique in terms of the sophistication needed, so that indicates that each one has a own level of chinuch. So if we're about an overarching idea, then we wouldn't care about what age a child should be. For Lula versus Tzitzis versus Tzvil, and it should be whenever he could do it, just overarching chinuch, at the age of 3, just do anything he could do. But since we find that the Gemara itself says each mitzvah is different, so then we view them, all the halachas are going to be different. That's why I understand. But I hear the point. There is a, overall, I think you're right, in essence, that aside from maybe not being fulfilling the chinuch prati for that particular mitzvah, it's still a nice thing to take the child to this big event anyways as a general concept of chinuch. I hear the point. Rav Moshe, in the end of the day, he talks about the specific mitzvah. And therefore, since, of course, avelus is something that doesn't happen often and it shouldn't happen often, it's bederech mikra, there is no concept of chinuch when it comes to avelus. So then he talks about, what about Tisha B'Av? That happens frequently, and we don't want it to happen, but it does happen on an annual basis. It's been going on for a couple thousand years now. We want it to stop, but it happens pretty regularly. He says, for that matter, even though Katan doesn't keep Avelus, he does have to keep Tisha B'Av. Since the whole idea is being Ragil, then there's a big chiluk between Avelus and Tisha B'Av. So let's just finish off Halach L'Maisa, based on at least Nitta Gavriel, the number 15 here. He writes here, there's two columns here, if you could see that. So just reading the top of the Nitta Gavriel, where the words are slightly bigger, the font is bigger, Aleph, he writes that katan v'ktana shegil achinuch, haynu shemevinim ha'asan, where they understand the tragedy that took place. Korin lehen kedin, they have a regular kriya if they are higil achinuch. V'yesh amrim de pater mikriya, there are those who actually say even higil achinuch they're pater. V'chei nogin bir hakodesh yushalayim, that's how they actually practice in Yerushalayim. So we just learned this whole discussion that the whole debate is whether chinuch applies to avelus, but with regards to kriya, everyone that we saw at least said there is a chi of kriya. So this in the bottom of the footnote, Os Dalet, he says he doesn't understand why in Chutz Laaretz the minhag gets to do kriya for all ages, but in Eretz Yisrael the practice is not to do it, to do kriya even for a gil achinach, even for a child she gil achinach, there is no inyan of kriya in Eretz Yisrael. He doesn't know why, but in the end of the day, as I mentioned to you before, when it comes to minhagim of avelus, it all depends on minhagim, not so much on the halachas. I don't know Lamaisa, thank God I don't know what happens Lamaisa. I don't know what goes on really in Eretz Yisrael versus in America, but what he's presenting at least here in Nitta Gavriel is in Eretz Yisrael they do not tear kriya for any age child, and in Chutz Laaretz they in fact do tear kriya for any aged child. Okay, we'll stop here. Mitzvah, next week we're going to discuss the concept of avelus in general, whether that's a mitzvah deraisa or a mitzvah mi derabanan. Yes.